Blog Talk Radio.
Be
Wow. Man, oh, man, what's happening, everybody? This is Wardell Potts Jr., and am I having a good time? You know I'm having an amazing time listening to this music, and it's taking me way back, and it's just so much fun going back there because we had so much fun. We were so blessed, and the music was so much fun, and that was a song by The Whispers called Turn Me Out, and I don't know if you guys know that. Because it was never the single. It was just on the album. And there were so many great songs, I believe, that never came out, that never was featured, that were just on the records and stuff. So I want to play those songs for you guys today. Play some of the songs that were just kind of like in the background, stuff that we did that we love and the DJs loved it because they played it, but it was never the single. Just like the song you hear in the background, right? The song you hear that called There It Is by Shalimar. Okay, when we did that song, it never was the single. It was the single in the UK, but it was not the single in the United States of America. So crazy, right? It's like, why not? You know, and that's one of my favorite songs. And so it's just like really crazy that song was never a single. But it's like the song I just played you, the first song. I mean, it is such a solar sounding song. And it's so driven. But it was just never, I mean, it was, they played it on the radio all the time, but it wasn't a single. And so, see, and the difference is that when the song is a single, it gets a lot more push. You know, you have promotion behind it. It's pushing it and making sure that people get to see it, love it, and hopefully buy it. And but songs like this one, There It Is, and the one you just heard by The Whispers, they just taking a ride, you know. Now, this is the good part about that. The good part about it is that back in the day, we could enjoy not just the single, but we could also enjoy the albums. Hold on. Yeah, we could also enjoy the album as well. And so that was the fun part. You know, I mean, and that's why I believe that we have stopped buying records like albums and just buying singles, because what happened is the record company stopped putting so much emphasis on the other song. It was all about the single. And the people are smart enough to recognize, wait a minute, this is a great song, but the album sucks. And then when that continued to happen, people were just like, well, I'm just not going to buy records no more. I'm not going to buy an album. And so they started sharing singles with each other. And sharing the album just to see if it's any good before they went and spent their money. And if it wasn't any good, they didn't buy it. And so therefore, it wasn't like back in the day, like you buy the record, and if you didn't like it, if it was scratched or something, you could take it back, say, hey, there's something wrong with this, and they'll give you your money back or they'll give you another one. Right? But you know, when people were buying a record, and they take it back because I don't like the songs on it. They're like, well, that's too bad. You bought it already. We're not taking it back. And so, you know, you were kind of stuck with it. So they just started sharing out. And then all of a sudden, the record sales started dropping. And when the record sales started dropping, the record companies were like, well, wait a minute. Maybe we shouldn't pay, you know, the producers as much money as we're paying them, because the money that we get up front is called an advancement, right? So we get an advancement based on our royalties and based on the royalties that come in from the record sales. But if there are no, the record sales have suffered, the record company is like, well, wait a minute, we don't need to, you know, like give them such big advancements because we may never recoup. But they did that to themselves because they wanted to try to get more for less. So give us just, you know, some other songs, but we need this one to sell the record. And the people were like, we're not putting up with that. We're not buying it. So then that's when all the sharing started happening, and the internet just made that just blow up, and the record companies started dying because of it. So the record companies really set themselves up for failure. They did this to themselves. They can't blame it on the people. They did this themselves trying to be greedy. And so now, years later, most of them are gone. You just have a few majors left. And this is really sad because now artists have to become their own record companies because there's no companies out there to help them, to develop them and support them. And, it's just really pathetic and really sad. But when we all work together for the best, it was amazing. When the record companies worked really hard and, looking for great songs for the whole album, and then, and then they put it out, they release it, and, the public goes, oh, my God, what a great album. They bought it. They would keep it. They would tell others about it, and others would go buy it. And it was a blessing to everybody. So you gotta, be careful when you start being stingy. You get what you pay for. You really do. I mean, it's just, and it was really sad. So, but anyway, so I know it's a long story, but I just wanted to kind of tell you that because it just, to me, it was just kind of weird that they would do that to themselves. And that they would do that not just to themselves, they did it to the whole world. Everybody suffered because of that. I mean, my royalties are all over the place. I'm not sure what's going to happen. So, and then, like publishing companies, we don't get the advances and stuff. Like we used to get advances, with the publisher, you would get an advance and as a writer and stuff. But, and then you write for them and then they go and try to get your stuff placed. But then they stopped doing that because the money was had changed all up because of what the record companies did when they stopped putting out quality records. And so everybody suffered because of it. So it's sad. And I just hope that the future companies recognize what the other companies did in the past and flip the script and give the people what they deserve and what they want. And that's just good. Entertain me, give me good music. I'm buying your records. Give me good music. So anyway, so that's it. So I'm going to play a lot of the songs that I play are songs that were on the records that were never the singles. They were just on the record. And so kick back and relax. And you probably know a lot of these records because, like I said, back in the day when we were doing it, that everybody was putting out good records. And then all of a sudden in the 90s, they started trying to cheat. Just give me a good single and it'll sell the rest for me. Just give me a good single and people will buy the record. People are like, you're not pulling that over me. And so, but anyway, Don Fleming, are you there?
I am here. What's going on, man? Can you hear me?
Well, hey, welcome to the show. How you doing, my brother?
I'm good. Just enjoying it. Enjoying the knowledge that you're spitting right now. And of course, it is Friday, so it's all good.
It is Friday, man, and we're going to celebrate this day here. We're getting ready to go into the weekend, and so when people get off of work and stuff, when they get off of work on Fridays, it's on. It is like, here we go, the weekend is here.
Yeah.
So we kick off the weekend here at Soul Life Records Radio, even though Don Fleming calls my show the afternoon drive. So,
that's right.
Anyway,
that's right.
But hold on one second. Let me, I think, hey, who do we have, area code 310?
That's me. Hey, good morning. Good afternoon.
That's me. Is that Elisa Gomez Kelly?
Yes, this is Elisa. How you doing, Wardell?
what's up, pretty girl? And we got Don Fleming hanging out too today.
Oh, hey, Don.
Hey.
How are you, dear?
I am good. How are you doing?
Doing great. I have two delightful gentlemen right here, right now.
Well, you know, this girl is
with your chest.
she's been looking so good and doing so good. I'm so proud of her, and you know, your music is just, I'm so happy for you, and I just pray, you know, for continued success and that you just stay out there, because you're just a beautiful light, sweetheart, and we love, you know, when you come
on
to the show. Oh, it's the truth. When you come on to the show and we hear your voice and we play your music and stuff. So thank you. Thank you for...
And you know, I appreciate that so much. I appreciate your support through the years. You're just amazing with that, and allowing me to, you know, reach out to your audience. You know, you have a wonderful audience that loves you, and I'm trying to get on the mark where they can be exposed to what I'm doing, and hopefully they enjoy it too. And they can reach out to me anytime, Elisa Gomez Taylor. So, but hey... We're talking about the sounds of L.A., right?
Right, where you are.
Glad to be a part of it.
Yeah, so tell me, now you have a more intimate story because, you know, the sounds of Los Angeles was, you know, created like in late 77, 78 and on. And, but you were involved with some of the artists prior to that. You were like neighbors or something. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your insight?
Yeah, absolutely right. You know, our dear friend who passed on, William Shelby, and we used to call him Shelby when we were growing up. And when I was a teenager, my brothers were in their 20s, you know, they all had a band, and Will used to come over and, you know, perform and play with my brothers when they in rehearsal. So we had a lot of that going on, which was great. And Will was part of the family. He would come by the house. He knew my parents. My parents really loved him. And my brothers adored him. We all did. And, gosh, he was just part of our fabric, if you will, you know. And,
wow.
So it was when I heard that he had passed away, and I had and I was – not so long ago in touch with him by social media just to say, hey, how you doing? You know, just to catch up with him. It was just such a shock because he was a young man. He was still young, and he was still performing, you know, traveling around with his band. And, you know, the music that they gave us is just classics they'll live on forever and ever, and, you know, in our hearts and in our minds. So he left that with us. And so Mark Adam, too, remember him? He passed away quite a few years ago, and I remember talking to him like 3 months before he passed away, you know, because we were talking about, hey, you know, I want to come to L.A. and, you know, do some stuff, and he wanted to know who I knew over here. And, you know, so we were talking about that, Mark and I, and then that had happened, you know, which was heartbreaking. But, gosh.
How old was William when you knew him? How old were you guys then?
Oh gosh, I was in my teens, probably around between 16, 17, you know, and I was singing with my brother's band. They had a band, and Will would play with them once in a while, but with my brother's band, I would play with them, sing lead, and I sang backup, and we would travel around the region of Ohio. I'm from Dayton, Ohio, as Will Shelby was. And, I can visualize those practices with my brother, Billy Taylor, you know, just, you know, if there was a wrong note, he would stop in the middle of everything. No, that's not the note. This is the note. Let's do it all over again. I mean, that's just how he was in rehearsal.
Was
and,
your brother older than Will?
They were around the same age. Yes.
Which was
Will was 65 when he passed away. So he and Billy were, I think, around the same age. Billy's 65 as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So back then,
I think
then,
he's going to be 67 this year. My brother.
How old were they when they were in the band together?
They were in their 20s. somewhere in their 20s.
Okay, so this is
And he
before.
Was like, like you said, he was a friend of the family's. He would play with us, play with the band once in a while. I mean, we just had that kind of connection. And then
right.
he moved on to what he was doing. My brothers, you know, continued to have their band with other musicians. But the relationship continued because he would still come by the house and visit.
Did you go see Lakeside when they were performing out there? And they were a different name then, right? They were called, what were they called?
Are you talking about Dynasty?
No, Lakeside.
Lakeside, was they had another name?
Yeah, they had a different name in Dayton before they came to California.
Goodness. I don't know. I know there was, gosh, you're hitting me with those. There were some other names that they had. I can't
it's
remember
okay.
them.
No, but did so
yeah,
did you know the other guys?
Yeah, because I was just more familiar with just Lakeside and Dynasty, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Did you know the other guys in like William's brother, Tommy Shelby?
I don't believe I've met him, but I knew of him.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, yeah. You know, there was a lot of bands in Ohio. And it was the place where, I mean, so many amazing groups came from, like the
mm-hmm.
Ohio Players and
exactly. Ohio Players. Yeah. My dad used to fix their equipment when they were on the road. And if something would break down, they would bring it over to Mr. Taylor.
Wow.
My dad was the man in the region when it came to fixing TVs, radio, and equipment, music equipment, during that time, the 70s and 80s.
Was your dad a musician?
He was the point person. Mm-hmm.
Was he a musician?
Yeah, my dad actually played upright bass. He did it as a hobby, I think he was very influential with my brothers being in music, Billy and Farley, my other brother who plays keyboards, an amazing keyboardist, and influenced me as well, you know. So he introduced us to all the jazz when we were growing up because he was a jazz connoisseur, and all kinds of music, regular standard pop music he introduced us to, and he managed the band as well. So, but yeah, his hobby was upright bass.
Now, let me ask you this. Did you get to, I just want to say this real fast before I go to the next mm-hmm. question, but upright bass is like a acoustic piano. I mean, I love those two acoustic instruments. They are
mm-hmm.
absolutely amazing. And what the feeling that I get from those instruments are so intimate. It blesses me so much. So I, as a matter of fact, I keep going to buy an upright bass, and the price
mm-hmm.
of it just shocks me every time. And so I'm like, what? How much is that thing? Oh my God.
You know, what you want to do is you want to put it out there. I'm just going to let you know, man, go to Craigslist. There are folks trying to get rid of their instruments. Go to the schools and see if they have one that,
yeah,
you know,
crazy.
You can donate some money to them, you know, and you can get a decent upright bass, maybe fix it up, put some new strings on there. Then they may have quite a few in there that's just sitting there with cobwebs on it. So, you know, you don't have to buy a brand new one. You can get one that's seasoned up for you with some good memories behind it, right?
Right. Okay, so listen, I just found out from one of the listeners that the name of Lakeside was called Lakeside Express.
Wow. I remember that. Okay.
You remember that? Okay.
I remember that. Yeah, because if it was something totally different, you know, I was like, I don't remember it. But Lakeside Express, yes, I remember that. Thank you so much for giving us that information. Thank you.
Yes. And so when Will joined Lakeside, that was way after because he was a part of Dynasty. And
he was there first with Leon Silvers, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so Will was with us, and then years later, when his brother got sick, when Tommy got sick, Will went in as a singer to help them.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is he didn't know how to come back home. once he got to see, you got to understand that he, you know, those, all those were like his big brothers, Lakeside, right? They all were older than
him.
And he was Naughty. That was his neighborhood nickname as a kid, Naughty. And so,
Naughty.
So as a kid,
no wonder my brothers kept me away from him. No, I'm just kidding.
That's right, because I know Will was checking you out because you are something else. You are beautiful.
They were so protective. I have three older brothers. They were all so protective. They did not let me commingle with the fellow musicians when I was a teenager, even in my early 20s. It was just I was just off limits.
Smart brothers. I know it was probably a pain for you, but they were smart. They did what they had to do. I was like,
No, not at all. They were very nice to me. None of them ever bothered me. They were nothing, but they were like family. They were like family,
Well, that's
so
because
I appreciated them.
They got all these Dobermans looking at them. They're like, I'm not going to mess up and get bit by one of her brothers. They were at their best behavior around you. You were like, I'm just so amazed. They're so nice.
They were respectful, and they knew my parents, so they were respectful. We were all respectful to each other, and we cared about each other, so there was no room for that,
They were afraid. They were afraid your brother was going to cut them off. All right, you're not in the group.
You're so bad, but so good at it.
Because I grew up with all sisters, right?
You understand.
I remember trying to leave and get away from the house. All my friends wanted to come to my house. I'm like, no, I don't want to. I'm trying to get away from the girls. They're like, we're trying to get to the girls, but they never told me that.
So you understand how that works. You had to protect your sister.
I'm trying to get to their house where their sisters are. I want to be around their sisters. And they try to get around my sisters.
All the way.
That was you, yeah. That's what boys do.
Hey, Don, you better jump on in here. What's going on?
I'm enjoying these, these stories. And if I got something to say, I'm going to jump in. I love it. You guys, the whole little sister thing, it just kind of brings back memories of, me being protective of mine. So I totally get it. Now, from a musical standpoint, from bands and things like that, I know that was on a different level. That's why I love hearing it, because it sounds so organic and new to me. But I love it.
Alisa, let me ask you this then. After, Will had a success being the person that wrote the first platinum, the first gold record for Solar Records, okay? And he was in Dynasty at this time. Did you and him ever hook up? Y'all ever have, did y'all have like a friendship afterwards after y'all both left Dayton, Ohio?
Oh, is this for me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't know if you were asking Don or me.
No.
I knew Shelby when we were, in my teens, their early 20s. And yes, we still had that family friendship, relationship, should I say, even afterwards, when he made his hit. He still came by the house, to see my parents and say hi to me and say hi to my brothers.
Wow.
And even when I was in Hawaii, my brothers would tell me, hey, I saw Will Shelby, they would tell me, they ran into him, saw him at the store, or saw him somewhere, he came by the house. So that continued, and I actually saw Will, I think the first time I came out to L.A. or moved out to L.A., that was about 20 years ago. So in that time frame, I met him for lunch, and we chatted, and we talked, and so we kept
That's
in touch
so
through
cool.
social media, kind of sporadically, but, we stayed in touch. So, even after he became famous, he was still my brother, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. And so you guys
were
doing the
same. I'm proud of you, man. Loved your music. Proud of you. You make us all proud here in Dayton. And,
Did you live on the same street or in the same neighborhood?
We did not live far away. He probably lived maybe, I never went to his home. He came to our home. So I would say he was probably no more than 15 minutes away in Dayton, Ohio.
Okay, yeah, you know, you could not go to his house. Those are, you'd have been in trouble.
Unless I was accompanied by my brother, of course.
Exactly.
But no, I never went to his home or his family's home. He always, he would come to ours, you know. And plus we had the room to do the practice, you know, where we had the band room, which was one of our buildings across the alley, and we just had a big room where the band practiced. So,
Well, that's cool. I know you gotta have another appointment, but I'm so grateful that you called in and stuff.
I'm grateful that you know you reached out and say, hey, join me on here. You know, it's always a pleasure. Love supporting you and saying hi to your fans. You got beautiful fans, like I said, that love you, love what you're doing, and you know, it's all in great spirit. You know, God is supporting us through this journey, as we know, and keeping us straight and keeping us to love everybody, keeping us to keep serving people through music as we do. And all we can say is thank you, God, and just be grateful. And my word for today is, as it is every day, is appreciation.
Appreciation. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Don, is there anything else you want to say to the lady before we let her go? You
know, oh, man.
Be careful, because her brothers are listening. So you.
I know. It's like that movie. Oh yeah, it's like that movie quote. Choose your words carefully. No, seriously, I really enjoyed it. You know, please come back whenever. I love hearing those stories, and again, of course, it's Friday. It's about celebrating the legacy of Solar. And again, please, listen, Lisa, please come back soon.
Thank you so much, Mr. Don, swimming in the house. Of course. Thank you. It's a pleasure, and it's an honor to do so. Thank you.
Okay. And one last thing I just want to mention while you're there is that Don Fleming has set up a time to get with your friend, the congresswoman. The one that's running for Congress.
Jan Perry. Jan Perry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's done.
Thank you.
We both have already talked to her. And so we will, we'll keep you posted as to when it's going to be a special show that Don's doing separately, specifically for that. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So,
beautiful.
So, so
see how we work, you know, see how we work supporting each other and supporting our communities. Thank you so much.
It.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, John. Hey. Thank you, Wardell.
No,
I love you
no
both.
No doubt. Love it.
Love you too. Love you too. All right. Well, we'll see you. Tell your husband hello, please.
Okay. Say hi to Galen for me too. All right. Have a beautiful and blessed day. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yes, ma'am. Thank
you.
You
too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
All right. So listen, today, guys, I'm going to go to, like I said earlier, I'm going to be playing songs that weren't singles. They weren't the singles. I mean, I'm still going to play a couple of the singles because I just can't help myself. But these were a lot of the Solar stuff that never became the single. And now can you guys hear my dog crunching behind me? She's behind me eating. I thought I trained her to chew with her mouth.
Your dog has a mind of his own.
Yes, she does. Anyway,
especially on Thursday nights on the show, and I get you in, I get your mic in. That dog's back there griping about something.
I know.
Ain't nothing in this bowl.
I know.
You know.
Well, hey, we gotta have fun. So we're gonna have a good day today. Let me see. I just want to make sure.
Most definitely.
Let me see if Greg is saying anything, because you know how Greg is. He's always on top of it. Hi from the UK, from Greg to all the listeners in the world. I know that was for Lisa Gomez, but I missed it. Sorry, Greg. But also to all the listeners, much love, Greg. Thank you so much for that. And also, Astrid's on the plane on her way back to Amsterdam. So she was here in the United States for quite a while and hung out with us. So listen, let's get some music going, and then I'm, like I said, I'm gonna play you guys some cover tunes that, you know, and we were really, like I said, I love the cover tunes because, you know, when I started the show off with Turn Me Out from The Whispers, and to me, that's a great song. It would have been a single on anybody else's record, you know, but it didn't. They had other songs that I guess the record company felt was stronger, and they made them the singles. But I'm just so grateful that we gave quality music that Dick Griffey and Leon Silvers really guided us to do quality music and release quality music for the fans and the listeners and stuff. And so, and
right,
you know, and so, and Don, I was just saying earlier that, you know, people started getting hip to when the records were coming out and the singles was the only good thing on the record. They're like, hold on, we're not buying the albums anymore. We're just doing singles. We're just doing singles. And all of a sudden, you know, that's when all the sharing started, and then the internet started, you know, when it kicked in and people start using the internet, like, you know, sharing the music and stuff. It's like, okay, I'm not buying that. That album sucks. And so, and that's what happened before you could actually get the out, you would buy the album and then discover it sucked, but you already spent the money. So it's, you know, you're just kind of stuck with it. But then when the sharing started and the internet and all that kind of stuff, because people were like, we're going to figure this out. I don't know why record companies thought that they could play us or they could play the listeners. They're like, listeners, like, no. We are fans because we love good music. We love the music, and we will tell you when we don't like it. And they did. And they said it so loud that the record companies went out of business. They said it so loud that you only have a couple majors left. And the people that were working in the record companies are now working at Starbucks or something. It's like, you know, you cannot let your arrogance get in the way and run your business, because it will destroy you. And that's exactly what happened. They thought, well, you know, we don't have to give them a bunch of good songs. Let's just give them one or two and let just the rest be fillers. Like, people are like, that's not happening. So anyway, but back in the day, Don, you remember back in the day, those albums were full of good songs. And so, and they would just pull anything. The DJs start playing whatever they wanted to play off of the records as well, because they thought, these are great songs. Why are we not playing them? And they would play them and stuff. And so I was just real fortunate to be a part of a company that cared about the album quality.
Most definitely.
Yeah, go ahead and say what you want to say.
Would you? No. I just wanted to kind of jump in, because it was like, when was that? Can you pinpoint a year when you saw the transition of album driven versus single driven? You know, that transformation.
It started happening in the 90s, Don. It started happening in the
around
90s.
The mm-hmm.
Yeah. It started happening, and it got stronger and stronger, because what happened is once the internet...
You think
internet,
it was the advent of the internet? Oh, okay. Yes. You just answered my question.
Yeah, exactly. So what happened is that people were not able to express how they were feeling to the masses. It kind of like was just stuck in their own little space. But the internet gave people that connection to each other. And they were able to share their feelings. And not only did they share their feelings, they started sharing their music. And when they started sharing their music, they would also say, I bought this and it sucks. Don't buy it.
Uh-huh.
And so once that started happening, people started saying, well, you know what? If the single's good, that's all I'm buying. I'm not buying the album anymore. But don't you remember back in the day, I don't know if you're old enough to remember this, Don, but back in the day, I think you are, because you have an old soul. So back in the day, we used to anticipate the album. We couldn't wait for the album.
Yeah.
I mean, the single was great, but we wanted the album because you got all these great things that came in the album, you know, and you felt like you had a relationship with these people. That, you know, this is like they did this for me, you know, and you get your poster out of there and you put it up on the wall and in your room and stuff. And so you felt this, you know, this intimate relationship with the artist. And it was on and on and on. And they would have all kind of different things inside the album for you. And it was just fun. It was a great relationship. It was no arrogance. It was all about love for music.
Well, if you can remember, also, if you can remember, even after, you know, the whole payola scams of radio, you know, going in the 50s and 60s and whatnot, once the 70s came around, it was, you know, a lot of on-air people, you know, the E. Rodney Jones or whatever, a lot of those people, you know, Bobby O.J., it gave them more freedom to kind of play what they wanted to play. Yeah, it was about singles and this and whatnot. You think about someone like Bill Withers. If it wasn't for, you know, the guy turning over the album from Harlem and playing Grandma's Hands, you know, Bill Withers wouldn't be the Bill Withers that we might know. He would have been a hidden gem, because those things, to me, you know, especially when it came to black radio, even back then, you know, before I was born, and again, you know, speak on it if I'm wrong, you know, when you have those on-air people that you know, it wasn't about, I don't think Soul Train, either Soul Train was in this early phase, you never really saw a lot of us on TV, you know, as far as our pop culture, as far as our music, the only outlet was really radio. So that was one of the things that we anticipated, because we liked the single so much, we ran out to get the album, you know, because, you know, because, you know, and the spark might have been that DJ turning over and playing something from the B-side. So, you know, those things kind of manifest over the years. And like you said, you know, the argument is the advent of the internet kind of slowly drifted it away. And once, you know, those major record labels started dropping artists and things like that, and it became single driven, and it was about getting the money through the singles. And then, of course, going into the 2000s, it was about ringtones, it was about, you know, internet hits and things like that. So a lot of those things, it diluted, you know, our anticipation for albums, and that's a doggone shame.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I want to get going. I'm going to start. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it. I do have a question from a listener. It says, this question is for the both of us. Name your favorite album track. Name your favorite album track that should have been a single.
Favorite album track that should have been a single?
Just one that stands out most.
If I'm understanding the question correctly, I mean, when you think about a group like we played Enchantment yesterday, that whole album is a press play album. It really is.
Yeah, there was a song that you played and I asked about it. I said, whoa, what was that? That was an amazing song.
I'm here.
I can't remember the name of the song, but I just remember that was an amazing song.
Oh God, I'll have to think about that.
That's okay. And so, you know, for me, I'm
so many.
Yeah, so many. But I'm gonna tell you the one. I'll play the one from Solar that I think should have been a single. And it wasn't a single. It's from my group, Dynasty.
By the way, you played something. Yes, you played something by the Whispers yesterday off the So Good album, if I'm not mistaken. Some Kind of Lover. Was that ever a single?
This Kind of Lover?
This Kind of Lover, yeah.
Yeah, This Kind of Lover. Yeah.
Actually, it's Some Kind of Lover. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, Some Kind of Lover. You turned out to be. Yeah. That. So the strangest thing, and I hope that Mr. Harris is not listening. Mr. Harris was just on our show, but he was the A&R director of RCA at the time. He was the head guy at RCA, and that was a record that we did for the Whispers. It was the last record that we did for RCA before we went to Electra Solemn. And so it was considered a throwaway record. Now, it's a terrible term.
Oh, I hate that word.
Terrible. So what that meant was, just give me anything you got. I got to fulfill my agreement. Give me whatever you got. This guy. And it was like, so, but the problem is that we were hot. Our sound was hot. And so anything we put out was still good. We didn't know that. We were just, maybe Leon did, but I was just only in my early 20s, and I was just doing what I was told to do. And so we were just doing, you know, but when I look back at it, I realized, man, we were so hot. We had records constantly in the top 10. Every week we were in the top. We were just so hot. So when they said, just give me anything you got, it was like anything we got was hot. And
right.
So, but we didn't know that. And I'm grateful we didn't feel that way. We were like, that would be a little arrogant. But that's exactly what happened as far as the public was concerned, because when they heard that sound, they wanted it, because they knew that we were giving them quality music. And so, and they wanted what we were doing. And so but on the inside, that's just the inside information that you will never know if you didn't listen to this show, because nobody talks about it. But I was there on the inside. And I remember them saying, it's just a throwaway album, throwaway. I was like, duh, 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 duh. Okay, just give me anything. And so I remember we were all working hard to get, you know, and we had to do the Whisper, Shalimar, and Dynasty, and Kerry Lucas. We had to get all those albums done. See, doing all those records. And we're like, okay, the Dynasty, we were just workers. So we were, I think Greg put a flyer together. He said the hidden Dynasty is the hidden treasure of Solar. Because we really were the workhorses. That's why Dynasty did not get any recognition, you know, as an artist, because it was not in Dick Griffey's best interest for Dynasty to be out on the road performing and doing records. It was his best interest for us to stay in the studio and do the records for all his artists, right? And so that's what happened, you know. And we got paid indirectly in a good way, but... Mm-hmm. You know, but when you talk about years later, here we are now, it's like we wished we would have gave those hits to ourselves, you know, but it's too late, you know, because we could be out there reaping the benefits. We do reap the benefits from a royalty point. I just got a royalty check today. I mean, we reap the benefits from royalties, but we cannot, it's not like, you know, we are just as big as Shalimar overseas, or as big as the Whispers here in the United States. We're not. We're just Dynasty. And a lot of people would think the thought that Dynasty sounded like those groups, because we were those groups. You know, they didn't know that though. They just, you know, a lot of people don't read the credits. They just that the artist, you know, listen to the artist's new song. Oh, it's a great song. They don't know that it was written by Dynasty. So, but anyway, the point that I was trying to make, I believe, is that...
Did I interrupt you?
Go ahead. As usual.
No, I said, did I interrupt your flow? Go ahead. No, I was just trolling a little bit.
Oh, no. It's okay. No, I appreciate that.
Go ahead.
Greg said he bought some kind of lover. It was a single, and he bought it. So that's what I was trying to get at is that we had no idea what was going to be the single because when we turned over the music, we were gone to the next company. We were gone. So whatever they decided to do, you know, I just remember hearing, and I believe it was a single over here as well, Greg, because I heard it on the radio a lot. And so, but there's so many songs, and like, I can't even find the Dynasty's album. Greg is trying to help me find it actually. Cause we did the last record that we did on Dynasty. On RCA, I'm trying to find it. And I talked to even, Ray Harris, who is the head of our, RCA at the time. And I just talked to him right before we had him on the show a couple of weeks ago. with Virgil Roberts and all those other guys and the Whispers, and everybody came on. It was great when we were celebrating Reggie Calloway. Midnight Star actually got that thing in Ohio, the Walk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they,
Cincinnati.
They,
what is it? Black Walk of Fame or something?
Yeah. The Black Walk of Fame, yeah. And so, and they all came on, Virgil Roberts, Ray Harris, LaBelle DeGree from the Whispers, and a few more people came on. Sky came on, and, you know, different people came on the show a couple of weeks ago. If anybody hasn't heard it, you're welcome to go back into the archives and you can hear it. But Ray Harris is even looking for the Dynasty's album as well, because we turned it in. And he said, but I don't know what they released anything. The only thing I heard was Mustang Moving On. And so, and that was it. But it was a whole album. So there's a lot of material out there that I'm still chasing. But anyway, so we do need to get to the show, get to the music and stuff. And I'm thank you for the questions to the listeners and Mr. Fleming, because, you know, that's what he does, right? That's why he's gonna be, he's the questioner. He's the man with the question. So, all right. So this song right here is a song that was in my group. And as a matter of fact, one of the people that were coming on to the show when we were celebrating Midnight Star's award, he was in the hospital having surgery that same day. And so he is the arranger. He arranged the horns and the strings and everything on this song, as he's done for Earth, Wind, and Fire. Because when I heard it, I was like, "Woo, that sounds like Earth, Wind, and Fire." Woo! We had no idea. You know, we went in the studio, we recorded it and stuff. But when they come and put the sweetness on, the strings and the bells mm-hmm. and the horns, and oh, it just takes your song to someplace completely different. So, and when we come back to the other side, I'll tell you who it is, and we can talk a little bit more about it. So here you go. So to the listeners, this is one of the songs that I felt that should have been a single from Dynasty, but it never was. All right. God bless you. And thank you guys so much for tuning in. Don Fleming and Wardell Potts Jr. here on Friday as we celebrate the sound of Los Angeles Records. We'll be right back.
What color? Oh, what color? You have the power. Baby, just point your finger.
You leave the way.
Let me know.
there. Woo, my goodness. Come on. There's so much funk and so much love in that music. And Midnight Star was just, you know, they were tough. They, you know, you just don't want to mess with them. I'm telling you, that group had so much going on, and that song came out, and Reggie Calloway said the world wasn't ready for it. They was ahead of its time. I mean, you know, and he just said that a couple of weeks ago, you know, with that we weren't ready for that kind of funk, and that is so funky. My goodness gracious. So anyway, guys, how you doing? How you doing? Thank you so much for tuning in. So you know what I'm doing today, right? What am I doing today? Today I'm playing most of the songs that I'm playing. I think 80% of the songs that I play will be songs that I thought should be, well, they were on albums and they never were a single. And so, and I thought, you know, they had the potential to be the single, right? And for whatever reason, the record company had decided that, you know, they were not going to release these songs as singles. So anyway, so I'm just going back and looking at the Solar stuff that we did. But I did slip Gladys Knight in there because we did that song, right, for Gladys Knight. And rest in peace, my brother Richard Randolph wrote that song, No Greater Love. And it was never a single. It's like, why? That song was so good. I was like, why would that be a single? I don't get it. But that's like, it goes to my point that most of the stuff back in the day, you know, most of the albums back in the day had great cover songs. I mean, album cover songs, like songs that were fillers or whatever you want to call it. The albums were just laid with great music, and they really blessed us, and we bought those albums because of it. We knew that we could depend on the artist and the record company to deliver the goods, and they did. And they did it in a big way. And that's why, you know, so that's what's happening today. That's what I'm doing today here on Solar Records Radio. And I just pray that you guys all have a blessed weekend. I know it is beginning of the weekend, but what I want to know from you guys is, do you have any albums that maybe you're thinking, wow, this song was never a single either? That's true. I know a few of them. So if you know a few of them as well, post them in our group page so we could see that. And then what we're going to do, based off of what Greg just told me, that we would just do a show featuring those songs. You know, a combination of the listeners' thoughts of songs that they thought should have been singles. All right, so that could be very interesting and fun. And how we go about doing it, I'm not exactly sure. I don't know if we're going to mention your names or not, and the song that you picked. But it sounds like a good idea to me. But you know, that's let's have some fun together. All right, so just think about it. Think about the songs that you may have thought that should have been a single. You loved it. It was on the album, and you thought it should be a single, but it never was. And then post that song on Solar Records Radio page, and so we could see, and make sure you mention, you know, this song I thought should have been a single, you know, so that way we'll know why you're posting it, all right? So thank you. Thank you so much. And, man, oh man, this is another song that just was amazing to me, and I think it should have been a single. Oh my God, did I think the song should have been a single? Because this song really changed my life. This song changed my life because it was the beginning of my understanding of what Leon Silvers was trying to teach me. And so a lot of times when you hear people talk about pocket, 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 when I first heard that, I had no idea what they were talking about. Pocket, talking about something's in my pocket. I had no idea. And, you know, and basically it means timing, but it's not just timing. It's really good timing. And it's not just really good timing. It's got to feel really good inside the timing. So there's the timing, and it's how it feels inside the timing that creates this amazing feeling word called pocket. It's like, wow, now that's in the pocket. And so it's the drummer, the guitar player, the keyboard player, the bass player, all everybody in that's doing something got to get in that pocket. We all got to get in that pocket. And once we get in that pocket, it is a wonderful place. It feels so right. I mean, it makes it so that you guys can just dance to it, whether it's a fast song or a slow song, but it feels so good when you hear it, when it comes on. It's like, ooh, yes. And so, but this song right here was after it, even I played drums on And the Beat Goes On for the Whispers. That was the first song that I did for them. And but I still didn't know. I didn't know what he meant when he would say pocket. I just knew it was, okay, I could see his head going back and forth. So it's about the timing, right? So I got to make sure I just keep the timing, keep the timing. But what I realized as we continued to record every single day, it seemed like, but at least every other day we were in the studio recording, I started feeling what he was saying. And once I started feeling what Leon was saying, it was on. Oh. It was on because at that point, it was, when we were doing the songs, it was about the foundation. Let's make sure we get that foundation tight and right. And then we can build everything else on top of it, the guitar part, the keyboard parts, the whatever else. But the bass and the drums got to be locked. And man, he taught me that. I didn't even realize the feeling of that feeling until this song. And so I'm going to play it for you. I love it. Love it. Thanks, Leon.
inside yourself. Check it out. Do you care? We are on this earth together. Fighting friends don't ever win. Some of us don't want to bend. I say you, come and take my hand.
Yeah, that brother's funky. Oh, man. Oh, man. I just love, love, love the baby face doing this thing now on Solar Records Radio. And, you know, I that obviously was a single. And I love the singles. And I wanted to be able to play, like I said, both the songs that were singles and the songs that I thought should have been singles. Don't forget, we want you to post any song on any album from any album that you may have thought that should have been a single and it wasn't. All right? And then we'll do a show about it. And we're going to do the same. And we'll combine our thoughts with your thoughts and share it out. So please post it on our page, Solar Records Radio, in our group page on Facebook. And we look forward to that. And then we'll put a show together once we get enough of you guys participating. We're going to have a good time and we'll talk about it. All right. So thank you for, you know, for doing that. We appreciate it. And we love the interaction with you guys. We like to know what you think and how you feel. And so thanks so much for the postings as well. I want to thank you guys for being respectful to the group page and to the other people in the group. Thank you so much for making this a safe place to come and be comfortable and be able to share your feelings without worrying about, you know, somebody coming down on you. So we appreciate that. Mr. Fleming, what's happening, my brother?
Yeah. Good. Good, man. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I had to step out for a quick second. But no, I'm back. I'm back enjoying the show, hearing Climax in the background and talking about, you know, I guess the topic was to what find songs that should have been singles.
Or that you from any album.
Singles. Okay. Any album, okay.
Yeah. Any album that you know, you're like, wow, this is a great song. It should have been a single. Then, you know, post it in on the group page and stuff, and we're going to do a whole show about those type of songs. So that'll be very interesting and fun, you know, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to share our thoughts about the songs as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we want the listeners to share their thoughts about the songs as well. As we post them, you can write, you know, what your feelings are. Please feel free. And if you want to call in, you can call in to 646-668-8537. Once again, that's 646-668-8537. But on the day of the show, and we'll do that. Hey, I want to make sure I give a shout out to Julian. What's up, Julian? Much love, sweetheart. I hope you're doing well out there. She's such a loyal listener. Sometimes I get a text right in the middle of the show, and then she just responds to something I said. I go, wow, she's listening. She's like a FBI agent or something. She's listening. So we got about another 19 minutes left in the show. Don't forget tomorrow Solar wants to dance at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard. And I want to I also want to do a recap because yesterday there were three different shows. Don had two, and Goldie Mac closed us out. So I hope you the triple threat was still happening, but Don was in control of the first two. And that first show was with Denise Williams.
The archive interview. Show.
Yeah, archive show. Yes, and it was great. And the reason why we played it is because it was such a great interview, and I just love to, you know, people, you know, sometimes, you know, these people that we look up to are just so kind and so wonderful, and when that experience happens, it just feels so wonderful and beautiful. And so when, you know, we talked with her, she was so sweet and humble and beautiful. And very much in love with God. And we had such a wonderful conversation with her that day that I thought, you know what, I want other people to hear this woman. And so that's why we played that show for you yesterday. And hopefully, if you didn't get a chance to listen to it, it's on our page on the Solar Records radio page. Just go there and click on the link, and it'll play for you. And then Don came on in the evening, and he was showing off and just having a good time.
No, and you showed out.
Oh man, Greg said, you know, he loves what we're doing, but he was wondering if your cheer and my dogs could get their own show.
Funny.
I haven't heard your cheer in a long time. You must have fixed it.
It must have. I think
go
I
ahead
did.
On. Good. You think you did? Yeah, you did. It was good. It's good. It's all good. All right, guys. Well, we're gonna keep on playing this music here. We'll be up and out of here in about 15 minutes. So thank you again for tuning in today and hanging out with us at Solar Records Radio. As I mentioned earlier, Astrid is on her way back to the UK, but Amsterdam is her destination, but she's in the air right now flying back to the UK. So safe travels, Astrid, and she'll be back hanging out with us real soon. But anyway, guys, many, many blessings. Thanks, Greg, for all you do, my brother. Thank you for your flyers. And is there anything else on your mind, Mr. Fleming?
Oh, man. No, man. Are we saying goodbye or are we going into some more music before we go? And then we'll come back. How are we looking right now? We got about another
Would you like to have a solar block?
You want me to have one? Are you sure?
Yeah.
I don't want to feel like I'm just taking over, you know. No, I really appreciate you doing those blocks for me yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's always the conventional wisdom. He thinks that I'm going downstairs to eat. Now, I usually tell him when I do. But he kind of just taken that and ran with it, and it's kind of like a running joke between us. I just wanted him to get his, you know, his feels around, you know, on the show, the vibe of the show, and again, it's pretty much the same as his. So, you know, he breaks down, he goes back into the 60s stuff, and I guess in on my end, he feels like going to the more 90s stuff. But again, we have a similar taste.
I had to go to the 60s because I got to go to the 60s because that's what Greg remembers. He's really old. He don't remember the stuff in the 70s, 80s, you know, here. But his 60s, yeah. He was partying up a storm in the 60s. But anyway. Are you in the system? Are you in the system?
Yes, I am. Oh man, you were jamming it yesterday. I appreciate you hooking that up too. Mm-hmm. You played the system. He said, "Are you in the system?" Oh, by the way, I have the system. What are the odds?
Well, you
what
told me.
What are the odds of that, man?
You told me to play.
No, but I was just following
directions.
You silly. Yeah. But no, I guess I'll go ahead and do this block, man. I want to, I'm going to do something solar-esque.
14 minutes.
Got your buddy Howard Hewitt on it. But let me go ahead and start this block off. This is music from Stanley Clark featuring Howard Hewitt. The name of the song is called Heaven Sent. You guys keep it locked right here because we're celebrating the legacy of Solar. Keep it locked right here.
felt this way before. Love and endless feeling, ecstasy forevermore. I want you, I need you. This dream has revealed you. Tonight you excite me with your love. This love is creating a time for engaging.
Man, we got about another 5 minutes left of the show. Again, thank you so much for tuning in and hanging out with us. Going to wrap it up. The Whispers, so good. Had to hook that up from 1984 from the, actually, if I'm not mistaken, the So Good album. That's the one with Some Kind of Lover on that album also. Great album, man. Again, that should have been, was it a single? Did we ever find out that was a single?
Yeah. That was a single. Greg has that single.
That's right. He did.
It was definitely.
He did mention that.
So this is the thing. The thing is for everyone to understand that what, if something's a single in the UK, doesn't mean it's a single in the United States. So
understood.
It's like There It Is was a single in the UK, which is a great and amazing song, and it wasn't a single here in the United States, which I don't understand.
Which
I'm
robbery.
Like irritated.
Robbery. That was
Why
a robbery.
It, yeah, that should have been a single straight out. But at least the UK got it, and it did great over there, so I'm very happy, for Shalimar, because, when Shalimar goes there and perform, which they were just there, and Greg got to go hang out with Jeffrey Daniels and Howard and Carolyn, and then and so the same as Tiffany, she's been hanging out with them as well, and Don, and so when they go there to perform, they get to perform all these songs, and they get the response of it is even more so because they were singles. They weren't just album covers, I'm happy for them. I'm happy for everybody that gets the chance to be blessed through the music, because it's so much fun. It's a fun lifestyle to be able to live like that. That's your living. Good gracious. Lucky you. Lucky you, right? And so, but there's a lot of people that have amazing lifestyles. Okay, now listen, I just want to say that, we're always comparing our lives against, and I know we only have a couple of minutes left, but we shouldn't compare our lifestyles. We should just try to make sure we are enjoying our lifestyle, right? And if we're going to be a blessing to somebody else, great. But don't say, I wish I had what they had. That doesn't do anything for you. But what can do something for you is to make sure that you take charge of your situation and be a blessing to yourself. And, because sometimes the grass is not as green as you think it is on the other side. Being a musician or an entertainer comes with a lot of baggage. And you may not be made for that. And that's probably why you're not doing that. And being a politician. Look what happened to President Obama. He came in here the youngest president ever. After 4 years, he was completely gray. Like, what happened to him? That's a hard job. Leader of the free world is not easy. So just be blessed where you are. Be grateful for
all
what
those
you
gray
have.
Hairs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man.
It's crazy. So we need to think about, be happy for what you have and make it great, make it better, do better to make it better. It may seem difficult because you're comparing yourself, but don't ever do that, because you put yourself in a bad place right there. You just worry about you and focus on you and be the best you can be. And you'll be good. Can you imagine those people that run track? The people that run track and they're running behind all those people in front of them. And if they just keep comparing themselves to where they are compared to where they are, they just stop running.
Right.
But you can't stop running. You got to keep going. You got to keep going, because you never know. Some people trip and fall. Before you know it, now, instead of being in seventh place, you're in fifth place. Getting closer and closer because you kept running. Keep running. Don't give up. It's all good. But anyway, we only got 40 seconds left. So love you, man. Thanks, Don, so much for hanging out today. And thanks for yesterday, too. That was awesome.
Loved it. Enjoyed it, man.
I love the whole Solar Records Radio team. You guys are all awesome. And I appreciate all you guys. So anyway, guys, Zoom. We're going to be practicing because we're getting ready to do some Zoom stuff. We're getting ready. You guys are going to see Don eating his sandwich. eating his sandwich.
You'll see me eating. Yeah, yeah. And then some.
Okay, here we go. 5, 4, 3.
Have a good one, guys.
See you later. Good night. God bless everyone.